Welcome to the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast, brought to you by Blue Fletch. We discuss technology topics related to Android and workforce devices and how they intersect with business and mobility.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Blue Fletch Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast. Today, I'm joined by Lita Hines, who's head of RevOps here at Blue Fletch, and we're going to be talking about a research report we've done with VDC, which is an analyst group, I think they're out of Boston or somewhere in the Northeast, but they're pretty strong in what I would call the AIDC space. And AIDC is rugged devices or mobile devices for frontline workers. We engage with them specifically to learn more about use cases, current use cases for mobile devices in the enterprise or frontline worker space, and then also the future use cases. And I guess, Lee, from your experience, maybe you could talk a bit about, we start out with, you know, what are the areas that you work on within Blue Fletch? What are the things you've been focused on the most?
Sure. So when I talk to customers, it's typically at the top of our process in terms of them investigating our product. And I'd say the industries that I talk to the most are retail, warehouse, manufacturing, transportation and logistics, and then some hospitality. So really more just playing in the space where the frontline worker lives.
You know, why do people, so you mentioned people reach out to us, like what are the things that when you get inbounds to you, what are they looking for? What are the things people are looking for help with?
The initial one I'd say by far and away is single sign-on, meaning they're looking for a solution that will allow their employees to pick up a device, enter their credentials, and be able to see all the applications that are appropriate for their job. And then a fast follower to that, I would say, is device security. And what that means is knowing where a device is at a given time, knowing what applications are being used on it, knowing who is using it, really just to see where it is, if it's lost, if it's being used, that sort of thing. So security is kind of a bigger word, almost like device integrity or something like that.
Got it. So on my Samsung device or my iOS device, it'll save my passwords and do that as long as I log in my face. How is that different for frontline worker devices?
So frontline worker devices more and more are shared devices. So what that means is, let's say you're operating a manufacturing facility where you're going 24/7. So you're probably running three shifts. A user is going to come in at the beginning of his or her shift, pick a device up off of a cradle, log into it, and at the end of their shift, once they're done, put it back on a cradle. So all of that information needs to be wiped off of that device before the next person picks it up. So from a security perspective, that's really the main difference, is the shared device side of it. So you don't want to be saving passwords on the device. You don't want to have a session persist from when I'm using it to when you're using it, especially if your job's different than mine. I don't want to see something that's application data that may not be appropriate for my role or just would be confusing for me to see if it's a different job.
Got it. And it sounds like you're pretty familiar with the use cases already. Why did we reach out to an analyst to help do this research? What was the actual purpose of us like trying to gather more intel or insight around the space?
Sure. So I'm familiar with it in the extent of the people that I talk to seem to have similar concerns. But what we don't know is people that we don't talk to, what their concerns are. So we were looking at it from the perspective of avoiding confirmation bias, just trying to understand what else might be out there besides what we hear on a day-to-day basis from the people that we speak with, just to avoid being stuck in a kind of a rut.
Got it. And you talked a little bit about the frontline worker. What does that space look like? Is that 500 million workers, and what are the typical jobs that we see across companies for frontline workers?
Sure. So frontline workers are a huge part of just the global workforce. Globally, it's estimated to be at 1.8 billion workers. And the way frontline worker is defined is typically anyone performing what's deemed to be a critical task to a business. So that could be actually talking to a customer, like in a retail environment. Manufacturing something, like actually putting something together or making something, picking something up off a shelf, packing, completing an order, or even delivering something to your front door, like a UPS or Amazon driver or something like that. So actually, fulfilling a task is really how we define frontline worker.
Yeah. And then you said 1.8 billion?
1.8 billion.
Would it be? That's a lot of people. And so an example would be like in a company like Amazon, the guys in the warehouse, the guys driving the trucks, the people manufacturing the products, but not the people in the office typing code or
Exactly. Yeah. So those people typically don't have shared devices. What we call, I guess, in the industry, like the carpet jobs, meaning they're working in an office as opposed to a factory or out on the street. Typically, that's not the environment that we're dealing with and not who our customers are calling us to ask about solutions for.
Got it. And on these frontline worker devices, what are the applications? What does the application stack look like? You know, what do we see as we go work with these companies? What are the things that are on there?
Sure. So because this is a large investment and some of these fleets of devices run into the, you know, tens of thousands, there's kind of three levels of applications. There's the device management level, like an MDM or an EMM. There's the identity management system that's on that device so that my username and password or your username and password is somehow federated to that device and to the applications on that device. And then finally, the application devices themselves, what we call LOB or line of business devices. And then from there, those are further divided out into things like comms, like a messaging platform, performance of task, like knowing what item to pick next, a workflow management type thing, training and compliance. HR from even like clocking in, clocking out, scheduling, that kind of thing. So really just anything that you can think of that is tactically functional to getting your job done on a day-to-day basis.
Got it. And the key difference we've seen increase in the last couple of years, and I think the report research showed this too with all the companies they talked to, is that it used to be a single app. It'd be like a green screen app that you'd log into, tie into the WMS or the EMR, whatever it is, do your functionality, and that was it. Now we're seeing all these different apps on there. Like how big is the app footprint on these shared devices? Or what did the research show around that?
Sure. So the research showed that I think going from 2018 to present day, average application device on each mobile handheld went from 2.9 to 5.4. So that's like an 86% increase. Anecdotally, that still seems like a low number to me, at least from the folks that we're talking to. It seems to be a much higher application number than that. In some cases, we've had people with more than three dozen applications on a device. So it can get pretty complex in terms of the amount of tasks that a frontline worker is performing throughout his or her shift.
So effectively, a mobile device has replaced or has become a computer or laptop
for
the people on the frontline.
Yeah, and we've had certain customers of ours, particularly in the retail space, that have removed desktops entirely from their environment and are relying entirely on handhelds. Sometimes with like an external monitor plugged in, but yeah, it's definitely replaced what a computer would do in the past.
Got it. And from that hardware landscape, what does the hardware look like? I know a while back it was like Windows CE. What is the mix of iOS, Windows, and Android in the frontline worker space?
So these days I would say Windows is all but disappeared. I think this year I've talked to one customer that still had Windows devices that they were trying to replace. So it's almost exclusively Android, at least in the frontline worker space. It does tend to change up a little bit when we go back to those office jobs. Those are more iOS driven because, again, those are not shared devices. But in a shared device landscape, it's almost exclusively Android these days. And we see people going to that. We still see some iOS going to Android, but I've only talked to one Windows customer this year.
And then in your experience or from the report, was there any discerning tablets versus the handheld, like form factor, I would call it like the 3 to 5 inch or 3 to 6 inch form factor versus the 8 to 12 inch.
I wouldn't say from a research perspective that there's a trend of one necessarily going more prevalent than the other. It's really more job specific. So an example would be something that's mounted on a forklift. Tablet is probably going to be the form factor that you would see for that. Whereas if I'm walking around and talking to customers doing mobile point of sale or cycle count or something like that, it's probably going to be a tablet. I mean, excuse me, a handheld.
You're like the old lady at my kid's school performance that brings the tablet to film the thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Usually with the cover hanging down.
That's hilarious. And one of the things that stood out in the report that you and I talked about was, I think you called it like the friction between operations and InfoSec. Can you dive into that topic a bit or talk about, you know, what stood out there to you?
Sure. So in the report, and there was a lot more discussion in that report than I expected, frankly, to see around what operations is trying to do, meaning put a device in the hands of a frontline worker so he or she can perform their job, and then what InfoSec views as an inherent risk of having the ability to do single sign-on, adding more applications, so adding more hardware, adding more software to what InfoSec needs to be managing. So typically we deal with the operation side of things, at least during our initial calls. And our interaction with information security is usually around filling out questionnaires and things like that and sending documentation to them. But learning how much of a friction actually exists was something that was a little bit of a surprise to me in the report. And I think the lesson, the takeaway from that was, from our perspective, is getting information security involved sooner in the process, because they do have questions. And as a rule, information security is pretty stretched in terms of resources and budget. So the more software and hardware they have to manage, the harder it's going to be for them to get their job done.
Yeah. So engage with InfoSec early and make them part of the process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things is, you know, I didn't read this in the report, but this is just more anecdotally, like we've had companies that have come to us because they had a operations team put a certain application that caused a breach on devices. And that's, you know, it's a big no-no, because you want to have those processes. But I think the balance is, information security would tell you put nothing on there, but you need to have the processes and the agreements in place. And a lot of that just comes from having those people involved and having the teams work together up front. So it is really important. Turning a blind eye is not a good strategy from a security standpoint.
No, because I think if you get so far down the path and then you bring in information security, their reaction is going to be, there are way too many decisions made that expose risk that we should have known about 6 months ago. And then at that point, their knee jerk is going to just shut it down. So getting them involved early is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And speaking of just the blind spots, can you talk a bit about, in the report itself, was there anything that stood out to you around areas where companies are underinvesting in addition to the aforementioned security pieces?
Yeah, I think usability is really the big thing right now in terms of where companies could be spending more time and effort. Because so many of us interact with mobile devices outside of work and are on them, you know, 3 hours a day during our day-to-day lives, making that device, when a user comes in the door at work, look and feel and act just like something they may see in their day-to-day lives is that much more important. And so having a thing like the launcher that we provide that lives on that device, that looks and feels like something they might see on their personal device, where they can log in once and all their applications are there, is a huge benefit. If you think about it, when you pick up your device at home and you want to look at your recipe app, or then you want to look at social media, and then you want to look at news, you're not logging into each of those things. And so that's the experience that a user is accustomed to. And porting that over into the workplace, I think, is really where an investment could be made.
I guess in the app side itself, are there certain things that companies should do, you know, outside of just the launcher, things we do? Are there other areas, like for your app teams, what they should be doing from a UX standpoint that you've seen on the app dev side?
Yeah, I think, again, just focusing on the usability side of things in terms of making it clear what the next step should be. If it's like a process in warehouse management where this was step one, this is step two. So they need to know what happens next, as opposed to making it something that where they have to jump around from screen to screen and just taking something that was once on a desktop and just shrinking it. I think that is going away, or has to go away, if you want to continue to make these devices sticky and make the application sticky.
That's a good call. I think from a support standpoint, the number from the report stood out to me. There was a huge support cost associated with these devices. Mm-hmm. When we say support, what does that involve? I'm assuming it's like setup, it's the help desk calls, it's people can't figure out an application. What does that look like on these mobile devices?
Yeah. So I think in the report, it said the average support call was 44 minutes and average cost per device is $770. So if you have a fleet of, say, 10,000, 12,000 devices, that's $10 million a year in just help desk calls and helping people sign on to applications. So that's an enormous waste of effort.
It's almost as much as the hardware itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so I think investing in usability and making things intuitive on those devices, especially given the transient nature of frontline workers, you know, if you have a turnover of 140% in a retail environment year over year, you're going to want to make sure that what is on that device is usable when the user picks it up and they aren't going to have to get on the phone for 45 minutes a day.
Yeah. No more green screens.
Yeah, exactly.
So in summary, if you had to go through the research report and boil it down, what would be like the one key takeaway you would want people to get out of this as they read it?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at it, it's a given that mobile devices are here to stay in the frontline worker space. But there needs to be more thought around the holistic investment that goes along with that, meaning the infrastructure to support it. So that means making sure that your MDM tooling and deployments are set up correctly, making sure that your applications are easy to sign into, making sure that once you're in those applications, they're easy to use and easy to support. Because if you just buy the devices and then hand them out without a lot of thought around it, you're going to go back up and spend that $10 million a year on support. And if you do things right up front and put the infrastructure in place, you're going to be able to get a return on that investment.
Yeah, I always say start with the worker in mind.
Absolutely.
The other way around. You know, too many companies start with like thinking about all the bells and whistles as opposed to how do you make this person's job better day to day. To, you know, somebody, you know, they're not easy jobs. Like driving a truck is, you know, I've done it before. It's not easy. You know, or be working at a restaurant where you got people yelling at you all day. It's not a simple job, but like, yeah, how do you make their job a little bit better and easier and make them happier? Helps that turnover and retention definitely helps. And also just like the overall just performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the mindset is just, if we buy this device, the device is cool and we'll make the job better. But I think you really have to go and, you know, if you're considering an investment like this, go and actually spend time with the frontline workers, shadowing them, and look at how the device can improve their lives and their performance and overall happiness. And I think if you approach it from that perspective, you're going to be much more successful.
Excellent. Well, Lee, thank you for joining me today and going through this. If you're interested in reading the full report, check it out at the bluefletch.com website. You can search for VDC report, or you can grab it in the show notes or link below. And if you have other questions, feel free to reach out to us, email us at info@bluefletch.com. Thank you and have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast. If you enjoyed the discussion, please take a few moments to rate us. If you would like to listen to future episodes, please subscribe. To learn more about mobility topics or submit any questions, visit us at bluefletch.com.